Five words is all we're going to look at this morning, but they are five of the richest words in the Bible, five of the most familiar words in the Bible, some of the best loved words in Scripture. And I think if we can wrap our heads around these five words, it will change our perspective on our lives, our purpose, why we're here, and everything you face today and tomorrow and for the rest of your life will be different if you can understand these five words. The five words are this: the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, undoubtedly one of the best known passages in all of Scripture. Martin Luther called it a little Bible. Spurgeon said it was the pearl psalm. And I don't know if you realize this, but Psalm 23 is actually the middle psalm in a three-psalm trilogy. So Psalm 22 is a psalm about the Messiah as the suffering servant. Psalm 23 is a psalm about the Messiah as our shepherd. And Psalm 24 is a psalm about the Messiah as the Lord of hosts and the King of glory. So this is one description of the Messiah's ministry, that he is our shepherd. And of course, one of the reasons it is so beloved is because of the comfort it has provided for so many throughout the history of God's people. The fourth verse, the one that talks about the Lord being with you, the shepherd being with you in the valley of deep darkness. When you go through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with you. And there's a lot of speculation about when it is that David might have written this psalm, because when he was young, he was a shepherd, and so some imagine that while he was shepherding, it dawned on him that the Lord is his shepherd, and maybe he wrote it in his youth. I don't think so. I think this is written by an older man, a mature man, someone who has endured trials in life. We don't often think about David living a hard life or a life of trials, but think about this. As a young man, he was rejected, not respected by his brothers, not loved by his brothers. He was sent out to take care of the sheep while everybody else was back home. He was alternately loved and hated by King Saul, who pursued him and wanted to kill him. His best friend in his youth was killed in battle. Later, when David was married, he lost a child at childbirth. Of course, he sinned greatly with Bathsheba and had to deal with the consequences of that. He had her husband murdered. And then think about the family dysfunction in David's family. One of his sons was murdered by his brother. He had a daughter who was raped by a brother. And one of his sons tried to usurp the throne and depose his father. So he had experienced a lot of pain in life. And I think David wrote Psalm 23 to remind himself of what he needed to hang on to and cling to in the middle of the adversity that he faced. He needed to remember God's ongoing providential care for him, that God was with him as a shepherd. I think he wrote this to counsel his own heart in every season. His soul needed to remember these things. So I want us to read this psalm together. The way we're going to do this is I'm going to say a line, and you're just going to say it back to me, and we're going to work our way through this whole psalm out loud. Let me pray for us before we do that. Father, we come to you grateful for your word. It is true, and it is perfect, and it restores our soul. And so we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us by your Spirit through your word this morning, that you would refresh our hearts and renew our souls. And we pray that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to obey. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read this together. This is the word of God for the people of God. You follow after me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. May God bless this reading of his word. The grass withers and the flower fades. The word of our God will stand forever. As I said, we're just going to look at the first five words, and here's how I want us to look at these five words this morning. I want us to consider, what does it mean that God is our shepherd? Then I want us to consider, what does it mean that it is God who is our shepherd? And then what does it mean that God is my shepherd? So that's how we're going to take this apart. First, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, think about what a shepherd does. A shepherd is the caretaker for his flock. He keeps them safe. He keeps them fed. He keeps them alive. He keeps them protected. Each sheep in the flock is the shepherd's responsibility. He is the one who is to oversee them, to keep them safe each day. Now, to really understand what a shepherd does, we need to understand what sheep are like. Okay? And I want to tell you five things this morning about sheep. So here's the first thing. Sheep are highly dependent creatures. They cannot fend for themselves. Without aid, sheep will perish. They must have a shepherd. They do not dwell in the wild and exist on their own. They must be cared for. And this is the primary significance of this metaphor. You know, when you stop and think, why did David pick a shepherd to describe God's care for us? It's because he understood as a shepherd that what God does for us is what a shepherd does for his sheep. He keeps them under his care. The Lord is our shepherd because we cannot survive spiritually apart from his care for us. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do what? Nothing. We must abide in him. The Lord is our shepherd. Here's the second thing you need to know about sheep. Sheep are followers. 20 years ago, there was a group of modern-day shepherds living in Istanbul, Turkey, and they decided that just for the morning, they would gather together and have breakfast, that the sheep were fine there in the field. They could see what they were doing. They were not completely out of their care, but they were distracted having breakfast. And listen to what happened next. According to CBS News, their website, this is Dateline, July 8th, 2005. First, one sheep jumped to its death. We're on the edge of a cliff. Then, stunned Turkish shepherds who had left the herd to graze while they had breakfast watched as nearly 1,500 other sheep followed, leaping off the same cliff, according to Turkish media. In the end, there were 450 dead animals laying on top of one another in a billowy pile, the Askem newspaper said. Those who jumped later were saved because the pile got higher and the fall was more cushioned, Askem reported. There was nothing we could do. They're all wasted. Nezvet Bayan, a member of one of the 26 families whose sheep were grazing together in that herd, was quoted by Askem. The loss was approximately $100,000 worth of sheep. Families whose livelihoods were dependent on shepherding were ruined. Sheep follow other sheep, and they go off the edge of a cliff. They don't care. They're just followers. They will go, oh, you're going there? I'll just follow you. Like lemmings. And of course, the Bible says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray, each to our own way. Sheep are followers. Here's the third thing. When sheep wander, they don't come back on their own. They're not like your dog. You know, when your dog gets lost, he finds his way home. When sheep gets lost, they just wander away from the herd. They have to be pursued. Remember in Luke 15, where the Bible talks about the 99 and one? When one shepherd or one sheep gets lost, what does the shepherd have to do? He has to go find him. That sheep's not coming back home on his own. Sheep don't do that. Here's the fourth thing. Sheep are highly vulnerable to predators. There are no ferocious sheep. You understand? I mean, they can't outrun a wolf. They can't fight back. They just go, bah. That's all they do. They're described as docile and timid creatures. And then number five, when a sheep falls over, he can't get himself back up. He can't. This is what is called being a cast sheep. So we have a picture of it. Look at this. This is a sheep who's cast. If a sheep accidentally rolls onto his back while his feet lose contact with the ground, he becomes permanently stuck unless the shepherd comes along and gets him back up. He can't flip himself back over. And when he's cast like that, gas starts to build up in his stomach. And if it's a hot day, he's dead in hours. If it's a cooler day, he might go for days. But he's going to be dead before long unless the shepherd comes and rights him. Sheep who are cast like this will die 100% of the time if they're not rescued. Now, I don't want to belabor the point about sheep, but look at, I'm sure you've seen videos like this one that have been floating around on the internet. Watch this video. Right? I mean, that's exactly how it is. You get them unstuck and they just jump right back in the same ditch. The key point David is making when he says that the Lord is our shepherd is we cannot survive spiritually without God's aid. We are dependent on him, and God himself has taken on the role of our caretaker, of the one who will watch out for us. And note this, this is significant. Well, we might think about God caring for our material needs first. What God knows is that what's more important is that he cares for our spiritual needs. Your material needs are not unimportant, but your spiritual needs are infinitely more important. And so God, as your shepherd, is not just looking out for your material needs. Jesus said God will take care of your clothing and he'll take care of your food. But God, even more than that, is going to take care of your spirit. He's going to restore your soul, as this psalm says. And so a shepherd leads people spiritually. The Lord, our shepherd, leads us spiritually when we wander off and we go astray. The Lord, our shepherd, feeds us spiritually. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need a shepherd who will guard us spiritually. We are vulnerable to error. The world is working overtime to try to press you into its mold and to punish you if you don't conform. You and I both need God to protect us from error and evil. And we need a shepherd who will rescue us when we go spiritually astray, to save us from ourselves, to save us from sin and death and hell. A shepherd who will say, follow me, and will lead us to the sheepfold where we are safe. And we need a shepherd who will defend us spiritually against the attacks that come from the evil one who is prowling like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Lord himself is that shepherd. And here's the point for all of us. If you are a child of God, you have a shepherd who has you in his constant care. God is never like the Turkish shepherds who takes a morning off to go have breakfast with his friends. God is always watching out for his sheep. He is paying attention. He is the good shepherd. In fact, remember that's how Jesus describes himself in John 10. One of the I am statements in John 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand is not a shepherd who does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and they know me, just as the Father knows me. And I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. So if you are in Christ, you are in good hands. You're in the best hands. You're safe. You're secure. You're cared for. You're provided for and protected. You have everything you need That's what the psalm says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have everything I need. You have everything you need because you have him. And he is everything you need. And this is all because your shepherd is Yahweh. And that's the second point I want us to look at. The Lord is our shepherd, but it's the Lord who is our shepherd. If there's one takeaway from our time this morning, it's this. Yahweh, the Lord, is your shepherd. Now, you know in your Bible, when you see in the Old Testament, the Lord in all caps, that's the Hebrew word, that's the name God gives for himself, the name Yahweh. It's his covenant name. It's the name that he gave to Moses in the burning bush when Moses says, "Who should I say sent me?" God says, "Tell them Yahweh sent you. I am who I am." David Gibson, who wrote a book on Psalm 23, said, "The identity of the shepherd is no small thing. The name that God gives us for himself is designated, it's designed to make this point. God is eternal, he is self-sufficient, he is self-existent, he's incomprehensible, and the name Yahweh tells us that the one who is our shepherd is the one who we cannot, and in fact will not, ever fully understand. His ways are higher than our ways. Our shepherd will sometimes lead us in ways where we don't know, we don't understand what he's doing. But his ways are higher than ours. He is God, you're not. His name Yahweh designates his self-existence and these eternal character qualities. It's also a personal name, Yahweh is. He doesn't say, "Tell him it is what it is." He says, "Tell him I am who I am." It's a personal name. R.C. Sproul says, "In the name, God reveals manifold things about the excellency of his being and the perfections of his character." And that's why the saints of old, if we asked, "Tell us everything you know about God," they would finally say, "Yahweh, I am who I am." That's the summation of his greatness. So when we read the first five words of Psalm 23, we should read it with a sense of awe, a sense of wonder and amazement and reverence and gratitude. The Lord God, Yahweh, the creator of the heavens and the earth, has pledged himself to be your personal caretaker. I mean, does that change your perspective on everything? The eternal one, he is my shepherd. Marianne and I recently made arrangements to try to find a caretaker, someone who would come in and look in on her mom one day a week. Marianne's mom is 96. In fact, let me show you a picture of Marianne's mom. Pretty good, right? For 96, she looks pretty good, doesn't she? She lives independently. She's really amazing. But there are challenges that come with getting older. Her eyesight's not what it was. Her hearing is not what it was. She doesn't get around the way she used to. She uses a cane and a walker when she has to go somewhere. So we found a company that would provide help one day a week. Someone comes in to help with the laundry and some run some errands, do some cooking and cleaning, things like that. Marianne's mom needs someone who will come and watch out for her, take care of her, help her in life. And of course, we wanted this person to be someone who would be kind and trustworthy and caring and has the resources to do the job. There are many things that she can't do because she's designated to be a home help person. She doesn't give health care, but she helps as she can. It's a limited kind of help. Psalm 23 tells us that God is our constant shepherd, and there's nothing he can't do. There's nothing that's outside of his contract negotiation. There's no care, there's no need you have that God has not pledged himself to care for. He's available to help with the deepest spiritual and material needs we have. This is Yahweh who is your shepherd. If Yahweh is your caretaker, if he's your shepherd, your helper in times of need, do you have anything to worry about today? Anything to be concerned about? I mentioned David Gibson, who wrote the book, The Lord of Psalm 23, which, by the way, was a book that we gave to Truth Partners not long ago. Some of you may have a copy of this book if you're a Truth Partner at Truth for Life. He says, that we are people who always want practical religion. We want effective habits, daily disciplines, lifestyle fixes. And he notes these can all be wonderful if they're full of gospel grace, but the fountain from which they flow is God himself. So he says, whoever you are, and whatever you're experiencing today as you read these lines, there is nothing better to know in all the world than that the shepherd you belong to is the Lord of the burning bush who revealed his name to Moses. This point is so rich, it is worth taking time to linger over. Let me ask you a simple question. If Yahweh is your shepherd, your caretaker, your overseer, the one who has pledged to care for you, is there any need you might have where God would say, sorry, I can't help you with that. That's outside the pale. No. Remember, who is your shepherd? It's because of this that David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When I feel like I need to want, I'm not going to do it. I have everything I need. So the Lord is our shepherd. It's Yahweh who is our shepherd, but here's the last thing we're going to look at. He is your shepherd. He is my shepherd. When Jesus talked about being the good shepherd, he went on to say that the good shepherd is the one who cares for his own flock, a particular flock. And he was saying this to the religious leaders of the day who were outside the fold. He said, "You do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." The relationship between the shepherd and the sheep works this way. The shepherd is given a flock to care for. The sheep learn the voice of the shepherd, and they follow him. So how do you become a part of this particular shepherd's flock? How do you come into his fold? Colin Smith, who spoke at the Basics Conference last year in May, said that there are two ways that a sheep becomes a part of a particular shepherd's fold. That sheep has either been bought with a price, or that sheep is born into the fold. And both of those metaphors apply to you and me as a part of God's fold. We are bought with a price, and then we are born again into the shepherd's fold. God is our shepherd because he paid the price for us, and we are in the fold by new birth. And our job is to follow the voice of the shepherd. Pretty simple. Learn to hear his voice and follow him. Can you, like David, say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? I'm going to quote David Gibson one more time. He says, "My calling as a pastor is always to ask people where they are with this shepherd. The members of my congregation are asked all the time by others about their status in relation to something or someone. What's their vaccine status or their relationship status or their employment status? But a pastor's job is to ask about flock status. Are you a sheep who knows the shepherd?" Maybe this morning, as we've been talking about how Yahweh is our shepherd, you've been thinking, boy, I wish I had a shepherd who cared like this for me. Well, the good news is you can. Jesus offers that invitation to everyone. If you hear his voice, you simply respond and say, "Lord Jesus, I know you want to be my shepherd. I want to follow and obey you. And I know what a mess I am. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've made a mess of my life, and I know you died to forgive me of those sins and to cleanse me and to make me new again. So please forgive my sins and let me be one of your sheep today." Jesus promises when we pray like that, he hears that prayer. You make that prayer in faith. He receives, he forgives, he welcomes you into his fold. He becomes your shepherd. I'm going to close our time this morning with this great hymn from the hymn writer John Newton. As we've seen this morning in Psalm 23, "Because the Lord is our shepherd, we have everything we need." Newton says this. He says, "In him I have an offering, an altar, a temple, a priest, a son, a shield, a savior, a shepherd, a hiding place, a resting place, food, medicine, riches, honor, wisdom, righteousness, holiness, in short, everything. And this psalm tells us that when the Lord is your shepherd, there are three ways that we respond to God being our shepherd. We shall not want, we will not fear, and we will dwell with him forever. Those are the three ways we respond to the news that the Lord is our shepherd. So I want you to repeat those with me as we wrap up this morning. The Lord is your shepherd, so I shall not want. Say that. I will not fear. I will dwell with him forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the richness of your word. Thank you that you are our shepherd. We acknowledge that we are simple sheep who easily go astray. We acknowledge that we are prone to wander. And Lord, we are grateful that you pursue us, that you care for us, and that we have everything we need. Help us to remember in our times of need that Yahweh is our shepherd, and so we shall not want. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.